Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
And away we go. Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. We are off and running on this Wednesday, September the 16th, 2020, 17, almost 18 minutes past the hour. I think we had a long obituary report this morning, which happens from time to time, and that's the way it goes. Now, we may have a guest in the studio here this morning, but I'm not sure exactly when that's going to happen. So we'll just have to play that one by ear and have conversation until that may or may not happen. Do want to give you a note here. The Richland Road Church of Christ, located at 535 Richland Road in Marion, will be having a food bank and clothing giveaway this Saturday, September 19th at 9 a.m. Now, I want to say this again. The Richland Road Church of Christ, 535 Richland Road here in Marion, will be having a food bank and clothing giveaway this Saturday, September 19th at 9 a.m. So don't miss that. I know there are a lot of people in need right now. You know, I keep seeing everything that's being written about another coronavirus stimulus bill. And it's very interesting. Let's put it that way. It's very interesting to see what's being said and what's being written. I would imagine, as I've always said, I think there will be another stimulus bill, one more, before this is all over. I don't know if there would be any more after that. But I think I was reading yesterday that Congress will be in session until they get some kind of bill passed, is my understanding. And I don't know if this is all political right now. It could be. I guess it could be. I hope that everybody involved, though, at this point, the Senate, the House, the President, understand that people need help. And I'm starting to see that people need help. You know, when I was coming in last Friday night to do the Friday night show, and you don't see this a lot in Marion. Has anybody else seen this? I was out driving through the Walmart parking lot, and there were what I assume were two homeless men on the corner there of where Applebee's is, on the backside. They were sitting on the backside of Applebee's, and they had a sign, and the sign said that they were homeless. Now, you know, the bad thing about these signs that homeless people have up, and I understand you've got to have some kind of sign because you're trying to get people's attention as to what's going on with you, but the bad thing about the signs are is when you're driving past somebody, there's so much written on the sign, you can't really stop and take the time to read what's on the sign. You would end up having an accident. So I don't know how that better could be served. I did notice, though, when I was driving by, that somebody was stopped and talking to them. Now, I don't know if they were giving them money, I don't know if they were giving them items, or I don't know if they were just there talking, but they had stopped to see what was going on. It's baffling to me that here we are in the 21st century, and that we could still have homeless people. And I always think about that when the weather changes, like it has right now. You know, it's cold at night. And where are these people going at night? Are they going to the homeless shelter? How many people can fit in our homeless shelter? I don't know what the maximum capacity is there. So I worry about stuff like that. And then everybody always worries about, is it a scam? Are these really homeless people? Or are they people just trying to get money? You know, I don't know. And I don't know how you check it. But I know that if it is true, and they are homeless, and there certainly are homeless people in Marion, Ohio, that we should not have this. We should not have homelessness. And it's hard to turn a blind eye to that stuff. I have a hard time turning a blind eye to that stuff. I don't know if other people do or not. Maybe they just drive on by. But it's just a shame, because you never really know how they ended up that way. You know, did they lose their job and couldn't get another one? You know, you have to think that once you become homeless, it's going to be very hard for you to do anything at that particular point. Because once you become homeless, it's going to be hard to shower. It's going to be hard to have nice clothes. It's going to be hard to go on a job interview. It's going to be hard to take regular baths and showers and things like that. This becomes a gigantic problem, a huge problem for people. And I think it creates a cycle that is very hard to break, because once you are homeless, what do you put down for an address when you go on a job interview? That's one of the things that's always on the application. How do you take a bath in the morning? How do you wash your clothes? How do you do anything? How do you practice good hygiene? It's a very, very scary problem, because it sounds to me, you know, I think everybody thinks everybody has family they can go to. Not everybody does, and not everybody has friends who they can go to. So it becomes a much larger problem than I think you might expect. So it's just horribly unfortunate. And you know what? It is absolutely true that sometimes these problems start because of some type of alcohol use or some type of drug use, which is unfortunate. But it starts that way. And unfortunately, it ends up there. And once you're there, how do you get out of that? And then you get into another cycle. Because at that point, then some people commit crimes to steal things, to get food and things that they need. And when that happens, then now you've committed a crime. And then now you're either going to jail or going to prison, or you're going to have charges pressed against you. And it becomes a much bigger cycle. So it's just unfortunate. I don't know why that was on my mind this morning. But has anybody seen the homeless people around Marion? Does anybody have anything to say about that? I saw them Friday. And it's not a sight that you see very often. At least I don't see it very often. But it was out behind Applebee's on Friday night. Did anybody else see this? Or has anybody else seen this at any other time? Give me a buzz here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And that's what makes me think about this food bank and clothing giveaway this Saturday, September 19th at 9 a.m. at the Richland Road Church of Christ, because this is how some people get their clothes and this is how some people get their food. Can you imagine not having enough food to eat? You know, it's one thing to have the food that you want to eat. It's another thing not having any food at all, not being able to buy any type of food. I can't imagine living that kind of life. I think that kind of life would be horribly stressful, would be horribly upsetting. And some of these people have kids. You know, you hear these stories, people living in their cars, whole families living in their cars, and you always wonder what happened. What happened that allowed that to happen? And we have a tendency, I think, sometimes just to say, oh, well, people are lazy. Well, I don't know if they're lazy. I don't know. You know, I think sometimes people have medical issues. I think sometimes people get down on their luck. I think sometimes people suffer from mental issues. I think there are things sometimes that are just beyond our control. And are we a forgiving society? Are we able to forgive and help? Because that's, I think, what we all strive to be at our best, is helpers. In any event, Richland Road Church of Christ, 535 Richland Road here in Marion, will be having a food bank and clothing giveaway this Saturday, September 19th at 9 a.m. And again, if you have anything to say about this, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 27 minutes past the hour here on this Wednesday morning. Now, we'll talk about this a little bit, because it seems to be the big issue in Marion right now. And here's what I noticed yesterday. Judge Warner, one of our judges here in town, was arraigned, I think is what it's called. He was arraigned yesterday, he and his wife, on four counts relating to the June 4th event that they're calling a hit and skip crash. So he was arraigned yesterday, and I saw so many people watching this on Facebook, and so many people commenting about it, and so many people sharing the Marion Star article about it. It's interesting. The judge has pled not guilty, and also says he will not leave the bench. You know, that was a big discussion for a long time. Will the judge leave the bench? Because the mayor has called on him to do that. Apparently the head of the Republican Party, which I had not seen that, but apparently the head of the Republican Party, if the reporting is right, has asked him to leave the bench. And the sheriff has said, if everything proves out to be true, that he should leave the bench. But he did plead not guilty. So again, we're at this quandary, and he said he's not leaving the bench. So he said not guilty. So at this point, I guess what we're going to have to do is just see what happens. See if there is a trial. See what litigation happens between now and the start of that trial, if it does start. There would have to be a reason, I would think, that he is not leaving the bench and that he is not pleading guilty. And we'll all find that out in the trial. I think those questions will be asked. But again, it's interesting to me that how much judgment gets passed on this case. And I am trying to stay as absolutely impartial on this as I can, because I think that's only fair. I only know the facts that I know. And basically what I just said to you are the facts that I know from that hearing yesterday. Or that, I think it's called an arraignment, the arraignment. Does anybody have anything to make of that? Did you watch it yesterday? Do you have any opinions on it? What do you think about it? Give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. One thing, like I say, the two things that came out of it that were most interesting to me, he is not going to leave his position right now. At least he has said that. He's not doing that. And that he pled not guilty. So there you go. That's where it is right now. And we will go from there. But again, if anybody has any opinions, give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. And I just hope, because the way our law system is set up in this country is, you know, innocent until proven guilty. How many times have we heard that put forth? And I think it's a tricky subject. Everybody's got an opinion. Deep down, everybody's got an opinion. Some people share their opinion, and some people don't. And that's just the way it goes. Let's take the call. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, that judge you was talking about, when authorities found out who it was, did he get arrested?
No, I don't believe he did.
Well, I don't think that's right. If that was me or you done something like what he did, we would have got arrested, got thrown in jail, and everything. And I think they get by with too much. Same with the cops around here. They do something, what we do, we get punished for it, but they get slapped on the wrist.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, it's interesting because he certainly was not arrested, but yesterday he was, I don't want to use the term wrong, but he is out on bond. So if he had not been able to pay that $10,000 bond, he would be in jail at this point, but he did pay the bond. I don't know why it happened the way it did, but I would have to assume that even with a normal citizen, that some kind of investigation would have to be done.
But, you know, yourself, if that was anybody else, they would got arrested right there on the spot. Because that's what he hitting and Skip. They fled the scene, and they didn't know if that guy's dead. They didn't know how hurt he was. And both of them should be in jail.
Well, let me ask you this, because it was never really handled by the people in Marion County. It was the Highway Patrol, and then it was turned over to the Attorney General's office. Why do you think they did not do what you suggested they should do?
Well, everybody's talking. They're getting by with it. And people in Marion, because he works here in Marion, the county building.
Right.
Everybody should have something written up and get his ass out of Al Marion.
Well, I guess we will see what happens as time goes on, but I thank you for your opinion.
All right.
Well, there's an opinion, and it's an opinion that a lot of people have. I mean, let's be honest. That is an opinion at this particular point that a lot of people have. Now, I don't know. I don't know what the laws are on something like that. I mean, obviously, you do not want to leave the scene of an accident. And that's the big point of contention here. You don't want to leave the point, you don't want to leave the scene of an accident. Why it happened, I don't know. I wasn't there. So I think we've got to hear the facts on this and then go from there. Certainly yesterday, a bond was set and a bond was paid. So it's not as if, and I think that would be for most people. I think most people would have the opportunity to do that. Here's what I think probably would have happened with most people. Now, I don't know, and if I'm wrong, somebody can correct me, because this is just coming off the top of my head. But my guess is if something like that happened to just a normal citizen, my guess is that a bond would have been set, they would have been arrested, and then if you could put the bond up, you would be out on bond until these trial procedures could take place. I don't know how quick an investigation happens. See, that's one of the problems here. One of the problems is that who did the investigation and when did they do the investigation? This we don't know. Go ahead, caller.
Oh, good morning, Scott. I love that last caller brought a giggle to my funny bone. He said a three-letter word that I never want to say on the air. You can say it, but it was the way he said it was so nonchalant, but there was no other way to do it. He's right. And I like how people kind of say what's on their mind.
Well, yeah, that's one of those words you can get by with. It's not one that we tend to like to say, but, you know, it's the way it goes.
Yeah, I don't, or that, you know, the four-letter word starting with P, I don't say that one. I pick something else, or I just hint about it. But this is a big case. There's no question. And we do hold judges, like teachers and scoutmasters, to a higher standard. And Judge Warner has probably presided over hit-and-run cases. And what do you do? Now he does it. I mentioned about, I think on the podcast, about Judge John Connor in Columbus, that he had several DUIs, but he admitted to it. And I would say this. Well, they're both very serious. It's kind of hard to compare them. But in this case, Warner just shirked responsibility. When what does a judge do? Penalize people for lack of responsibility. From what I hear, he's still drawing his salary, which is like $170,000 a year, a lot more than I make. I don't think he should be paid, but I understand he might have vacation and stuff. But there's a lot of charges, fifth-degree felony, all kinds of stuff that could put their, as the other guy said, rear ends in jail for quite a while. Yeah, a lot of it is she driving or what? Is she taking the fall for him? I mean, the whole thing is very, very complex and very mysterious. Hopefully, we can get the true story out.
Well, I think that's what we have to do here at this particular point, and I think that's what's getting clouded up. Is what is the true story? I don't think anybody really knows the true story except them, and I don't even know if the other person knows the true story.
Yeah, you know, they were using the bottle, which again is legal. You just don't drive after you do it, and that was the problem. I don't know. I don't want to point any fingers, but it's not looking too good for them right now. And it's, plus, and the other judge, we had, I think I meant to talk to you about that a few days ago, suddenly his caseload is double, but they'll have visiting judges or whatever, so they'll find a way around it. But Warner's pulling his salary. They were probably both drunk, and you know, alcohol wears off, so you just come back in a few hours, and it'll have worn off.
Well, but I think one of the problems is we don't know that, and I think that's what's happened here ever since this came into the public light. We don't know if anybody had been drinking. We don't know if anybody was drunk. This whole idea about who was driving, we really don't know, and that's one of the problems I think that's happening. I thought one of the dramatic moments in that yesterday was when he pled not guilty, and when asked if he was going to leave his position, he said no, because he's not guilty.
Yeah, but I think the reason, Sam Szymanski is a well-known attorney, a very, very talented attorney, and his job is to protect Jason and Mrs. Jason, forget her name, from charges. And I think it's a case, you would agree, Scott, if he pled no contest or said something other than I didn't do it, I'm not guilty, I'm of zero guilt, that he would look guilty. Instead he's standing his ground. But I think you and I know there will be a plea bargain, that he doesn't want to go to trial. He doesn't want to get booked and see a mugshot again. They will, I think I commented, others have, he'll lose his law license. I mean, he's 50. I mean, he's relatively young. He'll lose his law license for 5 years, and he'll pay a penalty, and it'll be a slap on the wrist. And I would tend to agree with most of the Facebook commenters. I don't know. Maybe he's totally innocent, but I do smell a rat or two. And let's get to the bottom of it. As people do make mistakes, I go along with what the mayor said, that he's a good guy, and good people do stupid things, myself included. But with the judge and that being held to a higher standard, we do need to get to the bottom of it. And if there's a plea bargain, like I think there will be, that has to be something that's not ridiculous. And let's hope that, like the way he stood his ground, that the county stands its ground also, and we can get on with business as usual. I don't think that he'll ever be a judge in Marion again. I don't see that as ever happening. But who knows?
Well, I would imagine that if you plead not guilty, I would hope that you had something to back that up with, because it wasn't just a not guilty plea to be not guilty. It was a very firm not guilty and I'm not leaving the bench plea.
Then what happened? I don't understand. What happened that would cause him not to be guilty? The wife said not guilty too, right? One of them had to be driving.
Well, here's the thing that I don't understand. Now, this is just a question I have about this entire situation. What we are saying is that there was a hit and skip situation, and everybody, you know, has pretty well bought into that. But do any of us really know, because they did not report it until 9 hours later, does anybody really know if they did hit each other? In the police report, I did not see where there was any, because there was no cops came out that night to examine it. Was there a collision? I don't know if there was or not. I really don't know.
Yeah. Did you hear also, you talked about this, South Dakota, I believe, again, I'm not looking at the source right now, but I believe the attorney general or an assistant attorney general hit a person while driving and initially said it was a deer and it was a human. I'm not sure if you heard about that or not. That's, I mean, a somewhat similar story.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing nobody's asking, but isn't this interesting? And I'm not saying this is what happened, because I don't know. But because there was no investigation that night, how do we know the Warners? We do know they reported it 9 hours later, but how do we know they were responsible for the accident?
Why did they report it 9 hours later? If they're guilty, if they're not guilty, they want to go ahead and let the authorities know so that whoever is guilty, if there is a guilty party, can be prosecuted. And if there's any medical attention needed and any documentation, that could be accomplished.
No, I'm saying I don't know if this is true or not,
yeah.
But I'm saying...
Yeah, I don't either.
What if the person who ended up hitting the tree, what if they were at fault? If they were at fault, then I'm not really sure other than the report Warner's not reporting it, if they did see it, I'm not really sure what the crime is.
Yeah, I don't know. The whole thing is mysterious. It's a very interesting case. I don't want to downplay the fact that it was very tragic, and that we, again, tragic for injured parties. And the fact that the judge, we're expecting someone to be responsible. But let's get to the bottom of it. Certainly, I think it's a case that'll be talked about once we have a resolution, Scott. It'll be talked about forever. This is one for the law books. And the South Dakota one, too, there are some similarities. So both will be something that will be a good lesson and a good way to judge human character.
Well, you know, the thing of it is that we can talk about it all day long, but it will never go away. And that's the problem with social media. People believe everything they read.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
it's horrible.
We're in that immediate gratification. And I'm guilty of it, too. And I'm just with the number of lawyers in my family and among my clientele, I'm fascinated by the whole legal business, and kind of wonder about it.
And like I say, I feel horrible for the person who was in the accident. Thank God they did not die, and I'm not saying they did cause it, but I'm saying what evidence do we have that the Warners caused this? What evidence do we have that the cars even collided? What evidence do we have of any of this? Now, maybe the Attorney General has evidence of that. Maybe we'll see it. I don't know.
So anyway, Scott, you might have heard some rumors that you might have somewhere between an intruder, a visitor, and a guest.
Oh, how close would that be happening?
Chances pretty good. The chance is extremely good.
You hear
the rumble of my small turbo engine in the background.
So what time are we thinking about that?
Well, let's see. How long is the news at the top of? Is it a big news?
Yeah, top of the hour will be the regular 10-minute news.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we might hear this individual, this Homo sapiens, right after the news and the weather by our expert meteorologist in training, Mr. Zach, also known as Weatherman.
Well, you know what I was thinking?
He changed his name to Weatherman.
I didn't think about this last night, but, you know, I don't know what the plans are with this intruder, but, you know, the Glenn show, the show that Glenn and I do is on from 10 to 12, so, you know, if that person wanted to stick around for that show as well and have some comments.
That's why I mentioned both shows, because, I mean, you're like Friday, you're on like almost like there's nobody on but you on Friday, but Wednesday you're on quite a bit also.
So it'd be interesting if we'll have a third party here with Glenn, because I think you and Glenn have some different opinions on some things, so that'll be interesting.
I would say, but you know, as intelligent adults, we can still shake hands and still be friends and still discuss and get to a resolution. We do agree on some things. Certainly, some things we don't agree on. Just to let you know. You know, in the morning, this person likes to drink a lot of coffee. You know what coffee does? That famous key, is that key in residence right now?
Or oh yeah, I took care of that a while ago.
Okay, just want to be sure, because there's no Speedway near the studio. So as long as the key is in residence, that's fine. It'll certainly have a good chance of being used.
Well, all right. So we're thinking sometime during the top of the 9 o'clock. When we come back at 9 o'clock, that person will be here.
There's a pretty good chance, Scott. I don't see them tearing up the roads. This person's already traveled past the area where the roads are generally torn up. So I think the rest of the trip will be pretty smooth.
All right.
Marion is such a good place to drive into, because you can time things well. There are always different ways to go, and the roads are in good shape. This person really enjoys driving into your, it's not a very long drive, but enjoys driving into your fair town.
Well, I'll tell you what, maybe we'll finish this conversation at that point then.
Maybe we shall do that. Okay, Scott. Well, thank you very much, and we will talk to you again soon.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, well, it sounds like we are going to have a guest during the 9 o'clock hour, and also this morning with Glenn and I, we'll have a guest, so that'll be fun. It won't just be Glenn and I this morning, it'll be the third party, and if you can guess who that is, which I think you can at this point, we'll have a lot of fun. Certainly will. But the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. Do you have any thoughts on this? And I, you know, again, this is all just conjecture. Well, let's be honest about this. I don't know what happened. The only thing I know for sure from that police report that was filed is that it took 9 hours for the Warners to report the accident. Now, I know they reported it at the sheriff's station. I only know that because that's what Sheriff Bailey said when he was on the air here. Other than that, I don't know anything. I really don't know anything for sure. I know he pled not guilty yesterday, and I know he said he has no intention to leave the bench. Now, if you have an opinion on that, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. At least we're not talking coronavirus today. There's a lot of questions there that have to be answered. And the questions are, did the two cars collide? I don't know if they did or not. I have not seen any paperwork that would suggest that. Now, maybe they did. I don't know if they did. And if anybody has seen different, let me know. You know, I don't know everything. I don't know who was at fault in the accident. I would think that would probably add to the... That could be one of the reasons the judge was not arrested, or his wife. And I'm still not sure. I would think that you would want to report an accident if you saw it, but I don't know if you're bound to do it. I mean, I would hope we would all do it. I don't know why we wouldn't. If we saw an accident, we would want to report it, but I don't know. Is it a law that you have to report an accident if you see it, if you're not involved in it? I don't know. Is that a law? See, that's a big question I've had about this, and you know, if anybody knows anybody in law enforcement, have them call in, because that's a question I think we all should know for our own better judgment, for our own safety in the future. If you see an accident happen, do you have to report it? Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, good morning.
I'm almost certain it's a law that you can't leave a scene of an accident.
See, I wonder that. Yeah, but see,
I'm no lawyer, but I'm almost certain that that's the case.
Well,
and I think this is... Go ahead.
I know that if you're involved, you can't leave the scene of an accident. But if you're not, are you ethically bound to stay?
I mean, they've already admitted guilt. I thought I saw where there was evidence of damage on their vehicle. So that would point to them definitely being involved. And I think this case has caused such an uproar because he's a judge, and we hold judges to a higher standard. They know better. You know, he knew, even drunk, driving away from that scene, he had to have known that that was ethically wrong. And I don't know what was going through their minds. I don't know if they panicked. I don't, you know, who knows. But him being a judge, we just hold people like that to a higher standard. And had he come clean and said, hey, we really messed up. We're going to pay, you know, for our crime and move on. But it doesn't appear that way.
Well, the thing of it is, I guess, I thought it was very dramatic, and I'll have to admit, I did not watch the whole, it's called an arraignment yesterday, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I did not watch the whole arraignment, but I thought it was a very dramatic moment where they pled not guilty, and when asked if he was going to resign his position, because we have not heard from Judge Warner since the mayor called for it, the head of the Republican Party called for it, the sheriff called for it, we haven't heard from him. And for him, for his attorney to say, no, he has no plans to leave it because he's not guilty.
In my eyes, the only thing he's guilty of, if indeed his wife was driving, the only thing he's truly guilty of is not reporting the crime right away. And for that, I'm not sure that he should have to step down as a judge. Not if he was driving, and this is all a cover-up, which I have my own personal opinions about that, but that's a whole different story. But you know, if the wife was driving and she panicked, they drove home and he didn't report it, they didn't report it till the next morning, I'm not so sure that's worthy of him having to step down. That's a huge deal.
Well, and I think this is the question, because all the reports that I have seen, and I have not seen anybody contradict this, is that he was not the driver. I mean, I've heard opinions that contradict that, but I've never seen...
In the official police report, though, that the State Highway Patrol took, I mean, you can see these reports online, there are reports that they saw a male driver driving away from the scene. So I, you know, but it was late at night. The person said that it appeared to be a man with short hair. His wife has longer hair. And, but it, again, it was late at night, and, you know, that's, who knows?
Well,
who really knows what the truth is?
You know, in that particular case, though, if, let's say the wife was driving, which is what we believe, and the accident did happen, wouldn't you guess that probably she would be so shook up that she couldn't drive? So I would understand why he might be driving away. Again, I don't know why it took 9 hours to report it. I'm still not sure why that happened. And somebody's going to ask that at the trial. I mean, he's a lawyer himself. I'm sure he's aware that somebody's going to bring this up. And when it does come up, I wonder what the answer will be from somebody who has pled not guilty, and not guilty to the degree that I'm not leaving my position.
Sure, yep. It's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. We're left thinking, I mean, we all have opinions. He's a local judge, and by them not reporting it for 9 hours, I mean, it's what... It leads us to think they were both inebriated, went home, sobered up, and then reported the crime. And that, you know, if they are not charged with drunk driving, that's a much, I don't know if that's a lesser charge than what they've already been charged with, but that's one charge that they would have avoided, and they did avoid. So who knows?
Well, it's, and I'm also puzzled by this joint indictment. Now, here's what that says to me. And again, this is all opinion. I'm obviously not going to be on the jury, and I'm not an expert in this. But here's what that joint indictment says to me. Because no police officer came out and investigated the night when the accident happened, I think the reason the joint indictment happened was because how can anybody say definitively who was driving? How can anybody say definitively who caused the accident? How can anybody say definitively what happened? I don't think you can, because nobody really knows, because there was no investigation the night of the accident. So I think that's why the joint indictment happened, because that's usually what lawyers do when they're prosecuting.
Right.
Prosecutors, they go
was
on
he
every
charged
charge.
With the same thing that she was charged with.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow.
But see, that wouldn't make sense to me either, because let's say you did believe he was driving. Well, then why would you charge her with the same thing?
Exactly. Yeah.
So this is...
So I'm wondering if they have more evidence that points to possibly him driving. Who knows?
Well, it's the only thing I say, and I don't have problems with people having opinions. Heaven knows half the things we do on this station are opinion-oriented, because we don't have all the facts. But what I don't like is that social media immediately has convicted this man. I see nobody out there on any post defending him. You know, it's okay to give opinions. I don't think it's okay, and people are stating things as if they're fact, and they're not. You know, there are a lot of people...
Well, I mean, the facts are, though, they caused this accident and drove away from it. You know, those are the facts. He is a judge. We hold him to a higher standard. So I think that's why people are way more up in arms than over, you know, the normal citizen.
Well, but you know, it's interesting, because I don't know... I don't know. There might have been a collision. I said, I haven't seen that report, and maybe you have, but if there was a collision, it still could have been the other person's fault. So I don't know that they have that they caused the accident. And I don't know that, I mean, there are so many people in this town right now who think that he was driving, and I don't really know if he was. I mean, I don't think anybody does, but that's what's reported on Facebook, and, you know, people take it as the gospel. And I, boy, that's awful.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that he should have to step down as a judge just for failure to not report it 9 hours later. If that's truly the case, I don't think that warrants him losing that seat. But hopefully, you know, the truth comes out in court.
Well, it's just to me, I guess, you know, what this all derives from. It's because I don't have any relationship with the judge. A matter of fact, I've probably talked and met him so briefly I probably couldn't even count him on one hand in my life. So it's no personal thing toward him. I never had a personal relationship with him or even anything near what the mayor or the sheriff even would have had with him. Because I don't go to court. But what bothers me is that people's lives can be ruined before there ever was an arraignment. And the stuff, you know, to see your life on, and you know what, if they did it, then you know what, it's warranted. But the problem is, we don't know that, and before we did all that, we had two stories on Columbus Media. We had the local newspaper covering it. We covered it. I mean, we're not immune from this either. And you never get that back. And social media, you know, went crazy about it. And you can't dial that back.
That's definitely, you know, a sign of the times. It's just the way that our society works right now, which is not good. You know, anymore you're presumed guilty until you're proven innocent.
And that's what I'm worried about. Because you know what? It's not so much the fact that everybody in the world has an opinion, because that's the times we live in. It's where are you going to find jurors who know nothing about this at this point?
Yes, exactly.
Because that's really what he's entitled to. That's what he's entitled to, and that's what his wife's entitled to.
Yeah.
And what is that going to look like? I don't know. And it's very unfortunate, because the last thing you want to do is take somebody who is not guilty and ruin their life.
Sure. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a big opinion case, but of course you can't help but feel sympathy for the kid in the car who, you know, I just thank God that he did not die in that accident. And you know what? If it was not the kid's fault, then I would guarantee there's probably going to be a civil case at some point for damages.
I think so, too.
So somebody
I've heard Judge Warner is a very nice man. You know, this is just an unfortunate thing where things like this happen, and we all have to pay for our mistakes, and we'll see how this plays out.
We'll see how it shakes out. Well, hey, I think we're going to break, but I thank you for calling in.
Okay, sure.
Hey, bye-bye.
All right, we'll take more calls on the other side of this short but very important timeout.
There are people who have been in Hollywood and had a great career who are not as kind as you might think they are. This woman exceeds that you might think she has the greatest laugh in the world.